You are listening to a Campfire Firecast.
Hello and welcome to the 8th Firecast from Campfire. This is your fire starter, Pete Lawrence, and we've just got back from a trip to Paros, Greece, where I had breakfast with Mary Valiakis, who set up the Athens Beacon and has some ambitious ideas around updating the Homeric games for the modern age. So this is what we talked about over breakfast in Parakia.
I'm Mary Valiakis. I'm head of innovation at the Hellenic Institute of Cultural Diplomacy and founder of social enterprise and development agency Oi Polloi.
Describe yourself in 5 words.
Five words. Irrepressible. Spontaneous. Big-hearted. Funny, if I do say so myself. And hungry.
What are you up to?
I'm working on what I call piecing together a renaissance of humanity. That's what we say with my social enterprise. What it is really is trying to bring about the right behaviors on a personal level and a collective level, and pulling together all the right partners and players needed in order to achieve that, to create a more sustainable world.
How's the campfire for you?
Campfire is great. It's full of motivated people who want to see a better world and make a difference. So far, even though my involvement hasn't been too huge, it's been extremely rewarding, and the people that I've met have been fantastic and so enthusiastic to participate and help out in any way they can, because they get it, that the reason that we're in this group is to come together to make a difference rather than just, you know, post pictures of food, basically.
And who do you invite to your campfire?
Who do I invite to my campfire? At the moment, because the agency, the development agency I run, is arts and culture led, so it's going to be a lot of musicians, artists. We're doing a thing called Coalition of Fun, so that's basically using fun to bring about a behavior change on a personal level, to educate people.
Talking earlier about changes that need to happen, I think we're doing lots in parallel, and one of Campfire's things is to link up with common groups and sort of bring them into the Campfire circle as well. We were talking about PR. Do you want to say a bit about what you were saying earlier?
So what I found with the work that I'm doing, I found some PR partners who are very keen, but it felt that what I've learned from the experience of trying to create news that isn't sensationalist, it isn't violent, for instance, things that currently get attention in the news, is that it's almost like it has to be sensationalist in order for them to be interested. Whereas the kind of work that I'm doing and you're doing and we're working together on, it isn't sensationalist. It's almost like kindness doesn't make the news because someone had a conversation with someone they saw on the street and actually that stopped them from, you know, doing something harmful to themselves. That doesn't make the news because it isn't, you know, sensational. But the kind of work that we're doing is a different. It's nurturing. It's all about consistent action over time. It's about personal change. It's about seeing what needs to be different and aligning yourself with that. And I think, although that isn't, wow, my gosh, did you hear about that kind of news, it's more important, because if that kind of behavior is encouraged throughout society, so I think a good news channel would be incredibly helpful in this, then, you know, you'd start to see a vast improvement probably pretty quickly as well.
Still so much based around clickbait, isn't it? It's like a really old school, stuck in some bygone era. That's how it feels.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's what I mentioned to you earlier about the move from the masculine archetype to the feminine archetype, where, you know, the masculine is about hunter-gathering, kind of like you lock on a target, you go and you get it, you acquire and you bring it back. It's sort of acquisitive and can be violent. But the feminine archetype, feminine, not female, mind you, is about nurturing and taking what's there and sharing it around. So we'd have to think of news in a different way, I think, if we're going to pull this off in order to achieve what we want to do.
So Trump, the hunter-gatherer's last stand.
Absolutely, I really do. And I think people are seeing how, hunting and gathering isn't relevant anymore. We don't live in a society where you walk out the door and something's going to kill you. It's not like that, you know. No velociraptors hanging around. So, you know, we step out of the door, and I think what we should be thinking is not, should I be afraid of the guy sat next to me on the bus? We should be thinking of, should I throw my gum on the floor, or should I wrap it in the paper, or should I even be chewing it? That's what I'm thinking, you know what I mean? So how can I make a difference with every action? You know, how can you do all things with love? And what does that mean? Even love needs rebranding, I think, these days, because it's kind of like cliched almost. See, it's touchy-feely. I think, the hippies were great, but they kind of did an injustice to the idea of love.
So would you rebrand love?
How would I rebrand? I'd make it cool. You know, I have this thing I talked to you about called trickle-down change. You know, I like, for instance, Jay-Z and Beyonce are giving...
Thank you. Lovely. So we're having a real Greek breakfast here.
Greek.
It's just arrived.
Yeah.
Eggs the Greek way. So you're saying about Beyonce?
Yeah, so Beyonce and Jay-Z are giving basically preferential treatment to fans who do acts of kindness. And that kind of thing where you leverage existing behaviors. People want to, you know, people... Social media encourages vanity, I think, and so you have to use the existing behaviors and adapt them and tweak them for the kind of behavior that we need to see in the world. So to tell people go and give blood, they wouldn't really, like, I gave blood once and I was put off, but if I went to give blood in order to then accrue points that got me something, some sort of reward, yeah, okay, it becomes a trade-off. But actually, what you're going to see over time, people start to say, hey, you know what, that actually makes a difference, and it's good because of X, Y, Z. They might tell their friends. You just have to wean them off the existing way of thinking, I think. And love just generally needs rebranding as a society. I think it's a project that I'm not going to come up with the answer over breakfast, but it's something that we all need to ponder and think about.
And surely all part of a big picture where we all have to make that move from competition and greed and self-centered interest to one where we put the benefit of all first.
Yeah, absolutely.
And realize that we can also get big personal rewards.
Yes,
Also sort of empowering others at the same time as nourishing ourselves.
Yeah, because I think it's the shift from capitalism to what I call it collectivism, although... They say the next thing is the sharing economy, but it's not so catchy, really. And people don't understand what it means. I think collectivism is a nice term because, it implies, an ism. It's a behavior that we do. It's something that we do throughout society. And there is that change happening already. And I know that the sharing economy has a bit of a bad name with Uber and Airbnb destroying communities, but they're just two players in a very big space. You know, there's people doing sharing tables. There's even just the way that it's done in Greece. It doesn't have to be a big brand name. People in Greece are doing the sharing economy because they have to. They have to pool together, pool their resources, help each other out. It's that move, like you say, from competition to collaboration.
I'm interested to pick up. Yesterday you mentioned that still in Greece there's a feeling that people have to hear ideas from those at the top. Did you describe it that way? That
yeah.
Still that.
Yes.
Not really that sense that ideas have to bubble up from the community or at the bottom. So what's your feeling on that?
Ideas are bubbling up from the community, but they don't gain traction. So there's amazing things happening on a community level, but not from top down. And I think from my experience, because I'm half Greek, Greeks tend to follow rather than lead. So if something becomes popular, then everyone will do it. And popular doesn't mean it's already widespread. It just means that certain influential people are doing it, or it's come from abroad. So that's why trickle-down change for me doesn't just mean celebrities should embody the right kinds of behaviors and values, but also that, you know, like, for instance, we're working together, and most of my collaborators are based in the UK. So, in effect, I'm importing change. I'm bringing people to Greece who already understand about these things and are enthusiastic and fired up. So, like, you know, people who are running Campfire, for example, and others, and bringing it to Greece. And it's suddenly Greeks can see, oh, wow, look at all these English people and people from all over the world. They're interested in our country to do this thing here. Okay, so then it must be legit. So, I don't know, it probably applies in many places, but this is the particular makeup here in Greece.
There was a sense, wasn't there? I mean, going back certainly to the 60s and 70s, it was British culture that was being exported all over the world, and everyone was looking to Britain in many ways, and America, I suppose.
Yeah.
To sort of carve the new niches and trend the styles, and I'm very keen to see that.
Yeah.
Broadening out even more than it is now. So it's not about the West making the style. It's, you know, styles can come from local places and local initiative.
It's cultural diplomacy, really. It's the British culture is more progressive, it's more open-minded, and yet it's a little bit stifled because I think the establishment isn't allowing these things to grow in the UK. The system is very rigid and defined and set in its ways. In Greece, it's all sort of falling apart. There was already loads of chaos here anyway, so you can kind of operate in the gray zones, and, you know, they don't understand the sharing economy here. So, you know, and actually in most places around the world, that's why I think governments don't know how to work with things like Airbnb and Uber. You know, that's why you have riots about taxis all over the world, because this is something that depends on technology, not on a physical shop.
And it's about people protecting their own interests still, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
Being very guarded and very proprietorial rather than working with others to do stuff for the good of all.
Yeah. So the one thing I take away from Uber and Airbnb is that they've managed to spread around the world using technology. And, you know, people just download the app and off they go. That, I think that is a good thing. The rest of it, the impact they have, I'm not so keen on. But we could definitely learn from that. And, you know, what I want to do is embed behaviors into technology, you know, so that we codify these things. So what does love mean? Okay, what would that mean for us to create an ecosystem that's sustainable, based in love and kindness and nurturing? And how can we facilitate that using technology so that one day people download something and go, you know what, I'm part of this community that interacts in these ways and we all benefit. And what can anyone do about it? Because it's an app. Quite exciting, really.
So going back to Greece, I mean, what's your feeling now? Things look like they're on the verge of a revolution, a very positive revolution a few years back. Even though Greece was in such a tight situation with Europe and financially. Looking back on that now, how do you see Tsipras and Syriza? What's the future?
Well, I think Greece is kind of... it's on the up, but I don't think that's anything to do with the government. That's just... it's come out of the worst part and is naturally improving. There was something, I forget the name of it, it was a Russian economist talked about these cycles. They're about 70 years long. So the last big crash, that was, the Depression, and then about 70 years later, roughly, approximately, coincides with the banking crash that we had in 2008. And so now we're starting, the worst of that is over, and now I think generally the world is seeing an improvement, even though the news tells us how terrible everything is. But on the whole, like, the world's never been better than it is now. So I think government, I don't know, I mean, I really believe government is an outdated idea. The way that it's done, I really think if we continue to have that kind of thing, we should redefine even the areas of responsibility so that they more accurately reflect what we need to be doing as a society. You know, I think having a let's say, for example, you have a Ministry of Defense. Why do we need defense in this day and age? The world is globalized, trade is globalized. Why do we need to be pointing guns at each other? Let's just get on with it. And you know what I mean? We're one organism called humanity. And everything else is sort of flowing freely around the world. Ideas, money, trade. Why can't, you know, goodwill, for instance?
And here we are on the verge of a trade war.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's a good point. I mean, yeah, I think the arms industry, you know, it's all about growth, isn't it? The economy is still all about growth, and that's another thing that
Absolutely. Has
to change, because I think that leads to exactly that, so the investment in weapons, and is the outcome, unfortunately.
Mm. Absolutely. So I think it's just, again, part of that old model of the masculine archetype. Mm. But that very, very interesting article was talking about the shift from the masculine to the feminine, and that's why we're seeing so much instability in the world. It's growing pains, basically. We have technology has so fundamentally changed everything. I could pick up my phone, which basically is the equivalent to God knows how many microprocessors they used to have back in the day. I have this incredibly powerful tool in my pocket, and I can instantly speak to someone across the globe. If that's not magic, I don't know what is. So, you know, it's interesting times anyway.
So, moving on from government, going beyond government, how yeah. might a structure look? How might people organize themselves?
I see it as a self-organizing system. I think if you take the example of X Factor and other shows like that, where you phone in, Eurovision, another great example. People phone in to make a choice on something totally asinine, entertaining, no doubt. However, it doesn't have much impact. And I don't see why we couldn't have, not, let's say, I don't imagine politicians singing or anything, but why couldn't you have, for instance, a platform where any issue that is relevant to the running of society and the governance of the whatever you designate as a community or a country or, you know, who knows, maybe it's global one day. Why couldn't people be properly informed, make an educated decision and vote in real time on the issue? It's really radical, but we have the tools, so why can't we do it? You know, we vote for X Factor and we pick a winner. Why can't we vote for things that actually matter, like, you know, how often they collect your trash, or, you know, things that actually impact your daily life, where your taxes get spent? I don't understand why I can't, you know, influence that.
May I take the sugar? Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Very nice eggs, thank you.
Oh, great, that's awesome. Finish, you take the plate?
Yep.
It make you more comfortable. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, it was interesting what... did you hear Ed Dowding at the Campfire Convention?
No.
He was on the first panel, and his website, represent.me,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where he's at with it, I haven't looked in recent months, but he was lining that up to be exactly what you're talking about, mm-hmm. so people could vote on specific issues, people could elect experts on particular issues to get the information they need.
Yeah.
And the whole thing becomes a public public and very transparent consultative process. And surely that's the sort of way we should be looking at evolving into making decisions.
Yeah. That's why I feel very strongly about change being able to start, like really meaningful global change, being able to start in Greece, because the heritage of Greece and, you know, this inheritance that we have of inventing democracy and philosophy. I mean, I know we didn't invent philosophy, but, you know, loads of fundamental parts of Western civilization started here. And what I talk about with the Hellenic Institute of Cultural Diplomacy and also with Oi Polloi is that, you know, ancient Greeks weren't special in any way. They just came together as a community and said, how should we do this? Because we don't want someone doing it for us. I'm part of this community, therefore I have to contribute into this community, and I have to cast a vote. Yes, okay, they didn't have women doing that, but we've moved on from that. So why can't we build on our heritage and, you know, basically do that again and try and influence the entire spectrum of, you know, human culture one more time? Because we're descended, if we want to be proud about our national heritage, fine. But, you know, I ascribe to the definition of a Greek that the ancients used to have, that, you know, you're Greek if you embody the right kinds of values and attributes. You're not Greek if you're genetically, you know, or born here. So I think, you know, bring that back. Let's invite people to Greece and, you know, do this thing of reimagining what a modern democracy is and what it needs to be and how does it function. We have the tools, so, you know, just have to build it.
I'm very excited that you've set up the Athens Beacon, and I think you're the perfect person to really move on it. Already I'm detecting a lot of interest bubbling under. The Global Sharing Week has just happened. That's something that can be rolled out and extended. One of the main issues is attention deficit, isn't it, for everyone? We've got so many things coming at us, so how do we move forward with it?
Absolutely. Attention deficit is a big challenge. I just see it as we just keep doing it. We just keep persevering. I think when I look back, because I can be hard on myself and be like, oh, I had all these things I wanted to achieve by now and I haven't done it. But if I look back what I've done whilst having a full-time job and doing everything in my spare time, I think actually it's quite a lot. You know, I have interest and support from a network of incredible people who, when it comes together correctly, the impact could be huge. So now that I have time to dedicate myself, I think the next steps are just, okay, now let's do it with focus and more dedication, because I've set time aside now to do this specifically. And I think, you know, if one wave passed and we didn't catch it, the next wave will come and, you know, it'll be a big one.
And more specifically, how do we do it? Do we have regular meetups?
Yeah, definitely. Regular meetups, a program of events in both Greece and the UK, because, you know, obviously for me, the involvement in the Hellenic Institute of Cultural Diplomacy means that we're building bridges. So we're building bridges between the UK and Greece. And what we do here in Greece, we'll do in London and all over the UK. Collaborations with British artists and British musicians, bringing Greek artists and musicians to the UK. And just using really the power of soft power. It's, you know, the attraction. And when you want to attract something, you don't... It's a bit like a fly trap, really. I know it's a bit of a negative connotation, but you don't seek out. You don't go out to... You let it come to you. So I'm going to be leveraging all my marketing, social media skills to do just that. So, yeah.
Well, let's hope people come to you and come to the campfire in Athens. And I think it can be a very important catalyst for lighting the flame, keeping it lit and passing it on. Mm. We were talking yesterday about that whole process, really, and how with people so busy doing other stuff, how we engage, and for people to feel part of something, I think, and be motivated by it is so important.
More specifically than that, for people to feel engaged, there's a number of things actually that we'll be doing. So the Coalition of Fun, which I've shared with you, you know, it's basically a collection of festivals and parties that whose brand lends itself to educating people on the right kinds of behaviors. So sustainability, for instance, you know, leaving no trace, or gender equality, or, you know, anything that a progressive, civilized society should be doing. we can raise awareness about it through fun, you know, because research shows if a learning experience is fun, people are more likely to come back for more. So that's one thing where people can come along and just have a great time. And also enjoying yourself is a very Greek thing. So it's very much based in the Greek culture. And I'd love to bring back from the ancient times, they had these, you know, festivals and all a bit raucous, you know. So we'd love to do that. And then Bring Philosophy Home is another initiative where it's all about personal and collective inquiry, because we're saying, you know, change starts in the mind. And that's another way people can get involved and, you know, start to... I think everyone knows something is wrong with the world on some level. And where do we start, you know? We have to start with ourselves. So we're not trying to point any fingers. We're trying to just say, you know, you are the greatest agent of change in this world, because what you do will then create a ripple effect. People around you might be like, what? You're not eating meat anymore? Why are you not eating meat? And you just be like, well, did you know? You know, dairy farming, A, is horrendous. B, you know, beef, biggest cause of global emissions, et cetera, et cetera. And you start to, people learn about these things.
And one of the things Campfire is doing is building resources, you know, based around the sort of information we need to know. And it's only in its infancy, but I can see that as building templates of wisdom, as I've called it, where people can refer to what's already happened, and we're not being dictatorial in any way. We're just using it as a reference library and saying, this is what was done in Brighton when they set up the firegram as a concept for how to conduct a meeting, which pulls together the skills and interests of the people there in a very productive way. And that just happened spontaneously. And I love it when you get these concepts just developing. And I think the other side is just conversation is what sparks ideas in people's minds, and that's really what this whole thing revolves around.
Yeah.
People talking and meeting and exchanging ideas.
Amazing. Yeah. And then I guess the other way you can get involved is the Homeric Games, you know, the Olympics for Innovation. So, you know, generally just harvesting all of Greek heritage to try and, you know, bring about what I call a renaissance of humanity. And funnily enough, turn Greece into a beacon of civilization, which aligns very nicely with Campfire. So, because it's needed, there's a gap in the market. You know, who's going to tell us what we should value, what we should look up to, what the leaders don't embody that anymore. I saw an article that said, I really hope it was fake news, but I don't think so, because it was in the Telegraph, but it said Theresa May is saying that pedophiles should be able to adopt children. I mean, really?
I haven't seen that one, but then again, I don't read the Telegraph.
No, I saw someone had posted it, and I just like, oh, man. So, yeah.
So with the Homeric Games, are you hoping someone will pick that up and run with it as a big event? Or?
So, well, no, we're going to start with a exclusive preview, kind of like, yeah, it's a preview, basically, and a launch opening festival on a small scale, so nothing huge, where we invite influential people from, you know, the Greek echelons of society. Because, you know, I talked about trickle-down change, so it has to be seen as desirable in order for people to get behind it. So, you know, a preview festival with some running partnership with you guys, and then some immersive production managers from the UK. So it's going to be very fun and exciting. We're going to ignite our own flame. And then open up the program. The next steps are to do the first Homeric game. We build a temple, where we build a temple in virtual reality, and it's a beacon of hope, right? And the ultimate aim is to build a physical temple, but it's all crowdsourced, and allowing people to be a part of that by buying a brick in the temple and encoding within that, you know, a message of hope for the future, so that when people visit this virtual reality temple, they can explore everyone's messages of hope for the future. And then in time, I would like to what we're going to do, we're having a big thinkers retreat where we define the scope of it, because the donations that we receive through this buying a brick mechanism could actually influence the architectural style, the size of it. You know, it could be really fascinating project. So a big thinkers retreat to define, you know, what is it, what is its function. I have my thoughts, you know. I think it should be a, because medical marijuana is legal in Greece now, And I think it should be a healing facility, because that also is, you know, tapping into our Greek heritage with, you know, the father of medicine and everything. So I think it should be a healing facility, because the biggest problem with medical marijuana, even in the United States, according to some friends that work in medicine, is the stigma. Doctors don't want to prescribe it. And yet it's so influential. And of course, it doesn't agree with Big Pharma. But I think if we make it as like a medical marijuana resort type of thing, meets temple, has that Greek ancient heritage feel about it, it could be a very exciting place, you know? So, yeah, so there's lots of amazing fun stuff coming up.
It's all very exciting. Well, great to share breakfast with you.
And you.
In the words of Monty Python, shut that bloody bazooki up.
You have been listening to a Campfire Firecast.